We begin this afternoon session of Ozarks at Large, not with beer, but deer. Two University of Arkansas biologists are using genetics in the first statewide study of chronic wasting disease in the white-tailed deer population. CWD is incurable, fatal, and transmittable. It's caused by a deformed protein called a prion, similar to mad cow disease. CWD was first identified in Colorado in 1967. It has spread to several states since then, and its arrival in Arkansas deer was confirmed in 2016. Marlis and Michael Douglas's research is funded by a $200,000 grant from the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission. The couple spoke with Ozarks at Large's Zuzana Sitek about what they'll be looking for.
You guys will both be involved in studying chronic wasting disease here in Arkansas. It shows up in deer and elk. Just lay out what you both will be studying.
Well, we're going to study not the disease proper, but really the movements of the deer. The deer get the disease, so the disease moves about the state according to how the deer move. So if the deer didn't move, the disease would have one focal point and it would gradually die out. But deer move just like people move, and so if you track movement patterns of deer, you can determine how this disease is going to spread. Now, we're not in the process of eliminating disease, but what we will do is evaluate which deer are more susceptible to this disease and which are not. And there is a gene variant that we will be looking at that will give us this information. So in other words, we can look at a population of deer, and if they have a very strong propensity for this particular variant, then there's less probability of them coming down immediately with chronic wasting disease. Whereas if they don't have this variant, there will be a strong possibility that it will be very prevalent in that population.
How do they move? What kind of patterns do these animals have?
They move just like most animals, for reproduction purposes, for feeding purposes, for climate purposes. It gets warm in the lowlands, and they'll move up, in the mountains to cool off, just like human beings do. So there is a tendency for these animals to move and move quite a bit. Particularly for males to move when it's in rutting season, that kind of thing. So part of this problem also for the deer is that the landscape provides resistance to their movements. They have difficulty crossing rivers. They can, but they have difficulty crossing waterways or lakes. They don't cross roads by and large. You see a lot of dead deer sometimes on roads when they get under the fence and then they get smacked by a car. And urban sites are also kind of blockages for deer. So the environment, human as well as natural, provides a lot of resistance to how these deer move around. So to track the disease, you need to be able to track how those deer move.
Both of you actually have experience working with chronic wasting disease in other states that have had this for much longer than Arkansas.
Yes, so we did a similar study in Illinois. Where there is a chronic wasting disease in northern Illinois, the landscape there is very different. It's much more flat, and there is much more agriculture, and so the deer move around that landscape differently than here in Arkansas, which is probably much better deer habitat. So what we say that in Illinois, the deer are more fragmented. There are small patches of potential habitat where the deer can live. And so this then impacts how the deer move if there is only here and there a little place which is good for them to live. So here we have more continuous good habitat for the deer, and this is also why the herds are bigger here.
That study was done when we were at the Illinois Natural History Survey at the University of Illinois, and those deer herds were in northern Illinois and also in southern Wisconsin, two states that kind of got the double whammy, so to speak. Once that CWD outbreak occurred, it was right there in the borderland area between southern Wisconsin, northern Illinois, and so both states had the problem almost simultaneously.
And how did each state handle the problem? Did they do things differently, even though they were right sort of in the same region?
Yes, they did, and this is simply state politics, how states approach this. And Wisconsin kind of allowed the infection to go and tried to just keep an eye on it and see what was happening with it, whereas Illinois took a very proactive stance. And when they found CWD outbreaks in the non-hunting season, they would send in teams of sharpshooters to reduce the population numbers in those areas where they found CWD positive deer. And that was positive with regard to keeping the disease in check, but it also had public relations implications because when the hunting season occurred and people in those areas went out, bought their licenses and went out to hunt deer, and if they didn't get one, the immediate response was because the state came in and eliminated the deer. So, which of course that could be true or not. But anyway, the different approaches were diametrically opposed and they had different responses and different implications for control.
Have you followed the results of that? Do you know which state fared better and which state maybe didn't fare as well with its approach?
I think Illinois' philosophy was to keep prevalence of chronic wasting disease as low as possible. So the idea is the fewer deer which have chronic wasting disease, the fewer deer can infect others with chronic wasting disease. So low prevalence, very few percentage of the deer population have chronic wasting disease is a good thing. And they try to manage for that. Of course, this then sometimes requires that you cull herds where there are chronic wasting disease positives. And sometimes that's a concern to the hunting community. And so the Wisconsin had more the strategy of not culling the herds, and they had a very, very high prevalence. I think it's at least over 40% now, whereas Illinois was very, very low. At least when we were there 8 years ago, it was less than a few percentage.
The moral of the story is you have management problems and you also have different strategies to approach and try to mitigate and reduce the impacts of those particular situations. And it can be one way or it can be another. It just depends on how you want to approach the problem. There isn't a right way to do it, but you must do something.
So how does tracking these deer help with disease management?
We use genetic approaches to try to see how deer are related to each other genetically more similar deer or genetic or more related, and based from that information we can then infer how the deer move across Arkansas. And by understanding how the deer move over time, this is not, yeah, we can do this a single individual. Sometimes we can detect from where it came, who its parents were, and from which population it moved. But it's more in a long-term perspective over several generations. And so we understand how deer move over 10, 20, 30 years, the herds over time. Whereas radio tracking is another approach. There you kind of track a single individual and see how it moves. Our approach looks at many, many more deers over much more time and a larger space.
You know, and the idea is to try to determine the capacity of these deer to move, because that's going to tell you how the disease is going to spread. And so you might have corridors where deer move fairly easily, connecting, say, east part of the state to the central part of the state, or the middle part of the state to the south. And so you can then impugn that the disease is going to follow these corridors as well. And so if you wanted to impugn and slow down the movement of the disease over time, you can try to change these corridors in various ways so that the deer have more trouble moving down these corridors, and that's going to make the movement of the disease that much more difficult, because the disease and the deer are tied together at the hip, so to speak.
So the research is being funded by the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission, and obviously they're looking to find out as much about this disease as they can. So are you guys weighing in at all at offering them some sort of management strategies, or are you just providing the information?
The Game and Fish Commission will devise their management strategies. We just provide data with regards to what is happening with the deer, how they are moving, where the corridors are, this kind of thing, where pockets of potential disease resistance are going to be. And then the Game and Fish, with very capable biologists, will figure out what a good management strategy would be in compliance with, of course, the public. There's a kind of this hand in glove kind of thing. And they devise a management plan that the public will buy onto that plan, and it will be executed. And that's what will govern the hunt, the hunting season probably, and also the control of the disease.
I'm sure this is a lot more complicated than I'm going to ask you to explain it. How do you match the genetic material and information to the deer herd?
we get a little piece of the deer's ear, and from that we can extract DNA, the source for genetic material. And then we analyze that DNA. We look at a lot of variation across deer's genome, what we say. And then we compare this variation across all the individual deer we look at and look for similarity and differences. More closely related deer have more genetic similarities than those which are less similar. It's the same in humans. And we basically could do something like paternity analysis in deer. And just these patterns are established over long times because a parent inherits the genetic alleles to its offspring, and so they will be similar. Offspring is similar to parents, and those are patterns which form, and we can examine this just by using a little piece of a deer's ear.
Yeah, it's kind of like a Rosetta Stone in a way. You get this DNA, and you can interpret quite a bit from that DNA with regards to the population, particularly or populations in the state, particularly if you have large enough sample sizes. And that's what the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission is going to provide for us. They're going to give us samples from every county in the state.
The first year, we examine about 450 to 500 samples. The current year, we will have about almost 1,000 samples. And then for each deer, we look at about 40 to 50,000 loci, which are distinct parts of a deer's genome. And for every single deer, so this is a lot of data. And then with statistical analyses, we can look for patterns, and these approaches are very powerful to detect very subtle patterns in deer distribution and deer movement.
It's interesting that the data that we get from this project are so voluminous, i.e. big data, that you can't analyze it on your own laptop or your desktop computer. You have to use high-performance computing facilities like we have here at the Arkansas High Performance Computing Center.
From your experience, is this disease harder to track than others that you've studied? I don't know if there's a comparison in deer necessarily, or if there's a comparison in another species of animal.
The chronic wasting disease in deer is it's very hard to diagnose. You only see it when the deer are practically in terminal stages because they're staggering around, they're on your back porch or in your backyard or standing in the middle of the road gawking, you know, these kinds of things. And by that time, that deer is going out the door. So it's really hard to ascertain, you know, you don't see any phenotypic changes until it gets to that stage. I mean, phenotypic changes, it doesn't have big running sores or its head doesn't turn blue or something, you know. So it's very hard to track in that kind of a context. And so you always are kind of, by the time you see it, it's almost too late.
Once a deer is infected, as Michael said, it takes a long time for symptoms to show. And so we don't know where that deer has been all that time from the time it got infected to when it's either hunted or as roadkill shows up. And so that it's, but all that time it has the potential to infect other deer. So in that sense, because it's very slowly kind of wasting the deer away, that might be why it's more difficult to track than a disease which an animal got sick and then quickly shows symptoms and dies within weeks.
Do you foresee CWD ever impacting deer across the whole country in some sort of noticeably negative way, or is it just going to be something that lives within the deer and it's just something we deal with?
Again, if you try to keep prevalence low, it will be very hard to study. It's good for the deer, but it will be hard to study. What it does have is an impact how humans might interact with deer or how recreational hunting is done in a particular state, how it's managed, what people can do, but also kind of the economic impact on the states. I think that's one of the largest concerns. People might not come here to hunt or don't want to hunt deer here if they think they are diseased. And I think that's a big concern, and this is why it has to be carefully managed with involvement from the public.
Well, thank you so much for speaking with us and explaining all that.
Thank you very much for allowing us to do so.
Thank you.
That was Ozarks at Large's Zuzanna Sitek speaking with University of Arkansas biologists Marlis and Michael Douglas. The Douglases also did research for the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission last year, where they focused on deer in the CWD management zone. After they complete the research this year on the statewide population, the Douglases say they will then determine what Arkansas Game and Fish should research next regarding chronic wasting disease.